You're listening to The Wicked Horror Show, powered by the Dorkening Podcast Network. For more information, check out thedorkening.com.
This episode of Wicked Horror Show was broadcast live to Facebook. In this episode, we're more than happy to welcome back Tristan Clay and Destiny Orndorff from the movie Red Eye. We may have some special guests as well. Hint, 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 it's Heather Dorff and Jessica Cameron. Thanks to Tristan and Destiny, we were able to finally see Red Eye. We share our thoughts on it, and these are amazing young filmmakers. It's very impressive. Yeah. So as always, if you like what you hear, head over to facebook.com/thedorkening every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a live show just like this one. We have open chat rooms so you can talk to the guests, talk to us, do what you need to do. If you haven't done so, please check out all of the other shows on the network. Lots of good guys, lots of good shows. And on whatever medium you're listening to us, please leave us a review, rate us, do what you need to do. Just help us out. We need it. But first, enjoy the show.
So we are live, and technical difficulties, you know, this here is a little crazy.
It is. We're using a new program.
We're using a new program.
Trying to make things better.
We're just letting them know. That's the reason why we're having technical problems.
Yes.
It's longer than it should have.
Yeah, it should have.
How many times can you say crusty in one conversation?
And ew.
Yeah. Okay, so we have Kevin and Wolfie and Tony, the norms. Tristan, Clay, and Destiny Orndorff from Red Eye. And another very special guest, Heather Dorff, also from Red Eye. Thank you all so much for joining us today.
I knew that Tristan and Destiny were going to be on. I had no idea that Heather was going to be on. So I was like, what? This is a Christmas miracle. We had.
I found out there and sit down.
Yeah, way to ruin my fun. But Jessica was trying to come on, but I guess her computer is a pile of garbage, is what Heather was saying.
A pile of garbage, it really is, though. So she'll be here eventually.
So we were lucky enough to actually be able to see this. I was jealous because I see all these different screenings that you've had at some film festivals and conventions and stuff like that. And I'm like, when am I going to be able to see this? So I'm psyched that we finally were able to see it. I knew kind of what to expect, but I kind of didn't. And I just got to say, I was impressed.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks.
So there's filmmakers. I mean, I know it's your first film. There's a lot of filmmakers, you know, especially small, like low budget independent filmmakers that I see that even a couple movies in, and I thought this is better quality than some of that stuff. So that's I just can't like it makes me excited to see what you guys are going to be coming out with in the future, because I thought this for the first one, I thought I was, like I said, I was very impressed. There's a few little things that I was kind of like, I wish this was a little different, or maybe like some little technical things that I was like, maybe they should do this. But, you know, all in all, I enjoyed it. It had good gore. It had some like really like what the F moments in the movie. For sure. One involving Heather herself. Yeah. I was like, oh, they went there. All right, cool. But yeah, I enjoyed it. So congratulations. I'm excited for you guys. It's awesome.
Thank you.
Now, what did you guys think of it? I know Wolfie probably talked about it, like on the sit down.
I can talk a little bit about it. I told them pretty much the same thing. It's like, I really love the fact that they got a very professional look to this. And Kevin and I have talked about this before. Sound quality is so important in independent and low budget films, and they nailed it for me. I heard. It's so annoying when you're watching a movie and then like someone that doesn't know what they're doing, you know, has the mic like 30 feet away from the person talking, and it still sounds worse than if they were like standing right over them. It's just, I don't know. I think the sound quality was impeccable in this thing.
Nice. I know Tony's probably sharing things, so we don't know what Tony thinks of it.
Well, I could stop for a second.
Okay, please do.
I actually did a review of this movie before for my 31 Days Hathaway Cobra. And I must say, I was watching it, and just the look of it And especially that last 15 minutes, I was like, it had not a lot of movies these days can have me like cringe and you know, kind of, I don't want to say duck in fear, but I was watching it and I'm like, oh, did that happen? And then I was like, then I had to remind myself. I'm like, did I just see what I thought I saw? But very impressive, oh, yeah. Especially for like in my review, I'm like, you guys had some shorts, which were really good. But for your first feature length film, I was very impressed. I was like, I didn't remember what I was doing at like 20 years old. And I'm like, you guys are so young and you made a freaking movie. And I'm like, I'm jealous now at 32 years old. So thank you for making me feel old and not making a movie.
Yeah. That's the thing is I'm at least twice their age. And I do remember what I was doing at 20 years old and it wasn't anything productive. So. Yeah. That's awesome.
Exactly. I was going to say the exact same thing.
And I just want to mention, so you don't think we're like ignoring you, Wolfie. We heard nothing. We can't see you or hear you. But lucky, we talked previously, so thank you.
Yeah, you had nothing but good things to say, for sure. But I'm really curious to what Leo thought of this because he's not a big horror guy.
Yeah.
And he's not a big gore guy. And you had one of your characters wearing a headless t-shirt. And I loved when we made Leo watch Headless.
We actually talked about that and I brought up the headless shirt and, you know, I told him, you know, that movie scarred me and so did this one. You know, not being a big horror guy, not being, you know, a big gore guy, some of it was like, oh my God, it was like, yeah, it was pretty bad for me. You know, so, but
I see it. I looked at it this way. Some of it was like, oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, being not a horror guy, you know, looking at this as like a pure indie movie. And I mean, all I have to say, and we've all said it is literally bravo. I mean, for, you know, your first movie out of a cage here, it's incredible. It's not shot like an indie movie. It's really clear. The audio is excellent. The music, Wolfie brought up the music. You know, this is, you know, for being your first movie, I cannot wait to see what you're going to do. You guys are just going to shoot right to the roof. It was, you know, just really, really well done. And I enjoyed it, but some of the gore thing, you know, it was like, you know, oh my God, did he really do that? It was
not to be like overly like gross or whatever, but like I had to rewind the scene with Heather to make sure that's what I saw. I'm like, was this? I didn't know if it was that or something else. So I was just like, you know, I mean, without giving too much away, you know, because there was something that was being pulled. And so I was like, is it that or is it? I'm like, oh no, it's not. Like, yeah, that is not what it is.
That's the one scene. I was like, did I just see what I thought I saw?
Yeah, exactly. And when you say like it made you kind of cringe, like things made you kind of cringe. Like I don't know if it's because I'm getting older, but I was just like, oh, that's a bit much. But in a good way, you know. The one thing that I did mention, I remember I said that there was a few little technical things that like bugged me. One of them was an audio thing. So there's a few spots where like the background sound kind of cuts out. I don't know if it's the the version that I saw or if that's been corrected or whatever. But I mean, so that kind of stuff kind of almost takes me out of it a bit. But it's not all the time. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I don't know. That's the only other thing that, like, thinking of what I would have done differently, that's the only thing I could think of. So that's not a bad thing.
No. That's There's good. One part that we caught that bugged me after that cut was uploaded that we went in and fixed.
Oh, okay.
So what's going to be seen on, like, the distribution side is a little different.
Okay. Good. I mean, it's again, it's not enough to ruin it for me. Like there's some movies that are bigger movies, and there's a movie I know you guys love, but there's things about it that like it gets me out of it, and I'm just like, I can't like get by it sometimes. It wasn't to that point, but other than that, I really have no complaints. I thought the acting was great. Everything. Yeah. I thought the story was really cool. So there's a lot there. I mean, it wasn't just a typical like, you know what's going to happen kind of thing, like the whole movie.
Well,
it's good.
Also, one thing that Wolfie brought up, and not to say too much to spoil things, but the mask was really well done. And like the teeth that were like stuck in it. Yeah.
So who did the mask? I thought I saw it in the credits. Was it Devil's Latex or something like that?
Yeah, the Devil's Latex. Great quality mask. I have a Freddy and Leatherface mask from them. They make awesome stuff.
Oh, yeah. I follow them on Instagram. And they make some really cool masks. I just don't have the money to buy them. But they do make some really cool masks. I want them to do an old school, like, 74 Leatherface mask. I'll be all over that. But they do other masks, other Leatherface masks, but that's the one I want. So, like, with Heather, you've made a bunch of movies before this one. What was your experience with these first time, like, feature filmmakers? Like, they did the shorts and stuff like that, but compared to some of the other stuff that you've done, how was your experience making Red Eye?
I think horror films, you'd be surprised. It was much of the same. No one shoot goes perfectly in the indie world. Something always goes wrong, last minute, last second, and you have to juggle and, you know, switch gears. You have to have plan A, a plan B, a plan C, a plan D, all the way down to Z, because that's life. That's life of indie film. So it was really no different than that. And that is to say that's actually really good, because I have worked on indie sets where, you know, people were way more experienced and there were definitely worse issues. And I've worked on, you know, sets with many less issues, but overall it was a pretty smooth shoot, especially for first timers. You know, when any of those obstacles got in the way, we re-geared and we figured it out and we got everything knocked out. We didn't get horribly behind. And we were on a real tight schedule, real tight. So we really didn't have room for error, which is always kind of terrifying. But it all worked out. It was super fun. Everyone really got along really well and worked together really well. Just all a bunch of really cool, good people. And I think Tristan did a really good job of bringing the right kind of people to his first film set to help him along the way, that, you know, and to lead and to be able to lead them well without having to baby them, because that's important. It's hard for even experienced filmmakers if they're caught in a situation where they have to minutely baby everyone on set. So,
very cool. How tight was the schedule? I know we probably talked about it before, but for those who don't know, how tight was the schedule?
Tristan, do you want to speak up?
Well, I mean, it was as soon as, you know, because where it was all basically outside, it was as soon as the sun went down, we were there like an hour or two to just set up. And then as soon as the sun came up, we had to leave because there was nothing else we could do. So, I mean, it was tight because we had to fit all of Jess's stuff in one day. We had to get Heather, you know, in and out. And then everything else, it was just, you know, It was very tight, for sure.
It wasn't even so much the hours in the night, which, you know, in and of itself presents a problem, right? When you have to shoot all night shoots, you have to wait for it to get dark. And then when it starts getting light, you can't really use any of that anymore. But it's also, you know, at the end, again, similar to all indie films, when you have 2 weeks to shoot a feature film, it's difficult. It doesn't matter. Like, it's a crunch and everyone has to hustle, and that's life. I can't remember, like, how close did we film my death scene before I had to be on a plane and flying out? I feel
like that was the night before, I think. It was like that morning.
Yeah. But it was one of those things. It's like, if we didn't get it, we would have been screwed. But luckily we got it. And that's the thing. That's the miracle of filmmaking. It all worked out in the end.
So Jessica joins us.
Who's gonna say something? Let's go.
Hello.
What
did I miss?
A whole bunch.
Yeah.
So what we're gonna do is we're gonna play the trailer, and while I got this running, I'm gonna try to fix the cameras, and through the magic of television, we'll see if I can get this done, or if it's all a mess when you come on back.
Through the magic of Krusty Comics, we'll get everything done.
Oh my God! Don't bring up the
Krusty
Comics.
Here we go.
We've reached our destination, Red Eye. We're hoping that these are the exact locations that the murders took place. Aren't you guys excited? This is the place.
We're staying where an iconic slasher legend killed his victims. It's like staying at the
Amber. Make sure everything's still where it's supposed to be.
Yeah, Destiny just did it.
Yeah, good.
Well, the only thing I see is the trailer, so.
Yeah, no, that means it's working.
You like to look at a cat now.
What's the cat's name?
Princess Leia.
Oh, you've had Princess Leia for a while, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I have a new cat.
Do you picture her? It doesn't happen.
I have a picture.
But better yet, pull her up and hold her and cuddle her, force her will. You know, they hate that right now. Princess is like, what the fuck are you doing, Blondie?
Are Scott and Hayden like hiding in the wings?
I told Jess that I had a cat and she went disappearing for like a few hours. So when she was on set,
that's my new cat.
Oh my gosh, what a beautiful animal.
He's gigantic though. She, look how big she is.
Yeah.
I got you, babe. Thing is, I love watching, not semi living.
You heard that crazy lady? We came out here at our own risk. I told you this shit happened.
You promise me that you'll be real careful. If you scream, no one can hear you. And if you get lost, you're lost.
Riker, where are you?
If one of y'all gets hurt, well, I hope you know first aid. And most important, there's no phone tower in Black Creek.
Okay, so gonna try to keep up with the comments here. Robert Sandage, this looks good to watch. And Tim Berg says, so awesome, finally got it in the message. So happy to see you all. Chris Guajardo, I wish I could have seen Red Eye. And actually, over on YouTube, let's see, Dan was asking, when can I see Red Eye online, or when can we expect a DVD?
When can we see Red Eye online, and when can we see the DVD, Mr. Director?
So we have a little, like, it's not a lot that I can say, but I can say the video on demand rights have been sold. They were the easiest, so that's why those got sold first. We're currently looking for someone to release the DVD side of things. But I can't go into much detail on that, but it's moving. It's coming.
Well, I'd be more than happy to add it to my collection, both digitally and physically. So keep us posted on that, because you tell a lot of us like to buy movies.
For like the video on demand thing, I've been telling people that there is... The certain scene that we were referring to earlier has been
removed.
It's not been removed, but it has been altered in a way where you don't see everything as detailed. It's done in a bunch of wides. I left a part in there and they're like, oh, no, we can't do that. So I was like, I tried. So I kind of, we alternated where it was farther back, but there's also a post-credit scene now. So what people see at the festivals is technically not what you're going to see on video on demand or DVD. The DVD is going to have everything. It's everything.
So is the post-credit scene the display at Walmart where there was maybe large balls involved?
I wish. That'd be fucking funny.
That would be fantastic. That would be.
I don't know.
That'd be a great extra on the disc.
I don't know. I think they should have the Bean Boozled game in there. That was pretty good.
That was good too. Yeah. You guys almost threw up.
You talk to Heather. She'll happily send you that video for the DVD extras if you want it.
Yeah, it's like gonna be
behind the scenes. Yeah, behind the scenes. So we talked to Heather a bit about her experience, you know, because you guys, you know, you've been making movies for a long time. And, you know, just working with these young filmmakers on their first feature length, like, compared to, you know, your past experiences, how was it working with these guys?
It was super fun. You know, they're so dedicated and so passionate, which is something that sometimes when you get a little bit older, you lose that. So I really loved it. It was a real pleasure to work with some younger generation filmmakers who are bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, so to speak.
That's awesome. Yeah, part of the, I mean, one of the things too is the story of how it came to be, like how you guys met and like the whole, like everything. That's a cool story too. So like, it's awesome. Like, because the first time we had you guys on, you guys talked about how like you guys met at the convention and whatever, you know, and that's just, the whole thing is just cool, you know. It's awesome.
I think so.
Yeah, that would make a good movie.
Horror fan film.
Exactly. You should make a movie of that. Well, I don't know.
There you go.
Don't tempt me.
All right. Then who would play who? That's the big question.
I say Jessica play Heather and Heather play Jessica.
All right.
Don't tempt me. Have you seen that? I have a dork wig and dork glasses for a reason. Like, one of my favorite things to do is bad dork imitation.
It would be hard.
Jessica just dresses up as... Jessica just dresses up as Heather and goes to Walmarts and jumps in giant ball pens, you know?
I would, but like the wig would probably come off.
Yeah.
But also, I'm not stupid. I feel like that's a horrible idea. One of these days, she's going to fucking crack her head open. I'm going to be there going, I told you so. I'm not the one who tells her to do this. I'm the one being like, don't do that. That is dangerous fucking shit. There's no upside. We don't need the views. It'll be okay. Heather's the one who's like, I'm going to do it. I do things, but only if there's a reason. You know what you get when you jump into a fucking Walmart ball pit? Best case scenario, you still get hurt. It's not comfortable. You're going for ball, but you're in this like rope contraption that you're not, a person is not meant to go through, and gravity takes a hold and pushes you through, and you're lucky if you don't bash your head, you bash some other body part on the hard floor. Like, nothing about that sounds fucking appealing any way, shape, or form. Don't do it.
I've never hit the floor, but I will say I banged up some limbs on the bars or when it was birthing me.
You come out and you're like beat red because, like, again, your body's like forced through the like rubber band contraption.
So how often does this happen? Because it sounds like it's a,
it sounds like it's a
lot. The time.
Does it really?
Red eye was the first time.
I mean, it happened three times.
Yeah, three different. No, four, right? Because there's three occasions in Missouri or wherever the hell we were at, and then it was also Tristan. I thought I did that twice. No, did I do it twice there? Or no, only once?
Twice there.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just seems like it was twice because you relived it so many times.
Mm-hmm.
Just real quick, do you guys know a Jamie Nicholson?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hi, Jamie.
Says, I love my family and friends. I always support and do anything for them. I hope they get a chance to know that I'm watching this.
Nice.
Yeah.
So one of the other things too is how long until you get kicked out of Walmart for good? Like,
oh, I don't know.
You know, so here's the fun fact. So the last time we did it, a Walmart employee came over. So this is where I think it went a little awry. Heather had like a moment of clarity on top of the ball pit. So how the security cameras are set up, I think anyway, is interested in, and Des might know a bit more than I do, but they're like the little round security cameras that are at the top, mm-hmm. right? So they see everything from the top down. So here's Heather. She climbs up halfway, stands up, so her head and shoulders are above all of the shelves in the Walmarts, and has like a moment of like, maybe this is a bad idea for like a good, I don't know what, 30 seconds, 20 seconds, like a chunk of time. So yes. I'm pretty sure at that moment, a bunch of people were like, what the fuck is that girl's head doing? Pop it up over all of the shelves. And then they see her dive with her feet go in the air into the ball pit. So when we were actually on the way to leave, a woman comes over, asks us to stop filming. And I did. I don't know why, because I am a law-abiding citizen more often than not. Yeah. I should have still kept filming it, just like turn the camera down. The audio would have been great. Tells us that she has to talk to us. And I'm like, we are leaving. Do you still have to talk to us? And she was like, yes. You're not allowed to do that. It's really dangerous. And then she said, she was like, you realize you can be barred from this location. So apparently, you're not even going to get barred like worldwide. But I don't know how you could enforce that. It's not like they'd release a picture every hour to be like, if you see this girl, kick her out to every Walmart. But you can actually get barred on a location.
At the front door,
right? See a little wanted poster.
Like, we are never. I mean, we at least will not be there for another year because I don't even know where the hell we were. We were someplace in, you know, Mississippi.
Yeah.
And we're like, you can bar us from here. We're leaving tomorrow.
Yeah.
So that was our fun little experience there. And keep in mind, I also tag Walmart sometimes when posting and feeling spicy. Nice. So I mean, and they've never commented yet. I'm waiting for the day for them to comment. Be like, what the fuck?
Well, what would be cool is like when Red Eye is available for sale in Walmart, then you guys can go in there and do that. Then, like, you need to leave. You're like, you run over and grab you, like, I don't think so.
No, you know what I'll do? You know what I'll do? And that's if, keep in mind, that's if it's done through Walmart. I'm not a big fan of big box stores. Anytime a movie is released in a big box store like Walmart or Best Buy, unless it's a Hollywood production with the big money, basically, it's a guarantee the filmmakers will never see a dime.
Mm.
Because how the Walmart deal works. So I hope for Tristan and Dez, it doesn't go to Walmart. But that's a distributor question because we don't want it to. But if it does end up in Walmart, what I think would be super fun, hell, even if it doesn't Walmart, we could bring in our own copies to throw them up in the ball pit and see if Dorf can't dive into the ball pit and catch one on the way out.
Because that's not
in awesome. Her mouth.
They have proved the ball pit that she fell into at my Walmart. It is now wooden, and it goes like
all the way to the ceiling,
and on the bottom is full of drinks and stuff. So it's like she could do it if she wanted. I'm not.
No, I would be hurt, but that sucks. They changed it. Damn.
But it is.
They started to change some of them because I don't think you're like, spoiler alert. If you Google Walmart ball pit diving, Heather's not the only person to be like so convinced it needs to happen.
Fair. Yep.
But she might be the first one to inspire it.
I, you know what, I don't think that either, but I think she's the best looking one I've seen.
Touche.
So,
give me a minute.
We have two people waiting to get in.
Who the hell are we waiting on?
Let him join, and if it breaks, we just can leave.
Where are they going to go?
Well,
I almost think we should let them join just to be like, what the fuck are we doing?
Tell you what, let's play. We got a bunch more people watching now, so we'll play the trailer, and I'll keep it on the trailer. I won't try fixing the cameras, and we'll bring these other two actors in and see what happens. So here we go.
Reached our destination, Red Eye. We're hoping that these are the exact locations that the murders took place. Aren't you guys excited? This is the place.
We're staying where an iconic slasher legend killed his victims.
It's like staying at the Amityville house or Lizzie Borden.
I got you, babe. Thing is, I love watching them, not semi-living them.
You heard that crazy lady? We came out here at our own risk. I told you this shit happened.
You promise me that you'll be real careful. If you scream, no one can hear you. And if you get lost, you're lost.
Riker, where are you?
If one of y'all gets hurt, well, I hope you know first aid. And most important, there's no phone tower in Black Creek.
Muffled.
It is
super muffled.
Okay, I'm gonna try to go and find headphones. I'll be back.
Okay.
So
over the mic too.
We didn't break it, so we are back. And I'm going to try to fix the camera. So things are going to look a little goofy for a little bit. So please talk amongst yourselves while I fix the cameras.
Amongst ourselves.
Yeah.
Amongst ourselves, or can people hear us?
They can hear you, yeah.
Amongst
ourselves. Always assume, Heather Dorf, when you're on camera, that people can hear.
You never know, but true. I should take that to mind.
And I don't know if we should introduce the one guest that we have before
the Liam camera is always on.
I don't know.
Well, our new guest is a ceiling.
What's that?
It's like our new guest is a ceiling.
We have another one as well, though.
We do.
Besides the ceiling.
Well, the other one that's not the ceiling.
That is Scott King.
Yeah.
How you doing, Scott?
All right. How are you?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you saw the beginning, but we all really enjoyed the movie.
Good, good. Glad you liked it.
You're a super creep.
Thank you.
And in the movie as well. I'm just kidding. No. In the movie.
Right?
I do my best.
I mean, if you made the joke, it means that we don't have to. So it's all good.
Right. No, it was very good. So I don't know much of your background. Have you been making movies for a long time?
No, not really. Before I had gotten casted in Red Eye, I had just done a short film where I played a drug addict, and that was really it. From what Tristan told me, I was the first actor to actually be attached to the project, so I kind of was with them the entire way. This was really my first feature film.
Awesome, you killed it. No pun intended.
So are you a horror fan?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I've been watching horror films since I was a kid.
What did you say, Tristan?
We casted him back in 2015.
Oh wow, so that was very at the very beginning. That's cool. So how did that whole thing, like, how did you guys know each other beforehand, or how did that all come to be?
Destiny knew of him, like, and talked to him before, and we put out a casting call, but it didn't have much of a response because, I mean, it was just my friends and her friends, and nobody knew what the heck we were doing, and so he responded. He was one of them. There was a lot that did, but his, you know, obviously stood out, and so yeah, it was.
Yeah. It was, yeah. So
yeah, basically, yeah.
That's awesome. Well, yeah, you it was really good. Very, very creepy. I don't know. I mean, it was so maybe go into like a bit of your experience, like being a first time feature film.
Mm-hmm.
Is this something that you're gonna continue with, or do you think that you're gonna, you know, do something different? Or
yeah, I mean, it's something that I definitely want to continue. Right now, I've just been working on a film that I actually want to make. And I've been doing some auditions here and there, but really just focusing on the one that I want to do.
Nice. Now, are you based out of the area where the movie was made, or?
I'm actually in Ohio, so it was about a 3-hour drive from where we actually shot for me.
Okay. Very cool. And now, I don't know if the other lumberjack found earbuds.
I came so in, bad. So I couldn't find any. Our house got robbed, so everything's just gone.
Oh, geez.
Oh, no.
I know. So I'm going to shout. Does that work?
Do you have a case on over your mic, like a phone case?
I don't.
Okay. Damn. I don't know then. That was just weird.
Oh, that's true.
Last thing is mic volume. Can you adjust that on this program?
I don't like. Think so.
No, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It gives me the ability to mute people, but no individual volume, unfortunately.
Sure. Well, I meant more on his app, too, like on the Windows.
Gotcha.
All right. He probably could on his settings, though, and that still might help.
Possibly.
Yeah.
And maybe.
So in the most muffled way you can you maybe talk about the character you played in Red Eye?
Just yell loudly.
And scream at the top of your lungs.
Scream at the top of my lungs. I play. Can you even hear anything I'm saying?
We can.
Okay, cool. So I play Jake Lockhart, and he is the dude of the group. And you all watched it, right?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So, which is very different for me because I'm complete opposite, and so you can ask the castmates, not really me. But so it's kind of challenging for me to be me, and hopefully I watched it and I thought I was a dick to me, so I was like, all right, I think I did pretty good in this. But yeah, it was actually really fun to play. I just pictured a lot of Rob Zombie, like his characters, because his characters kind of douches in a lot of his films, so it's like, I kept that in mind.
Cool. Sure. Good job douching it up.
Oh, Lord. No, but it was really fun working with Aiden. I mean, he plays my... What the hell are you? I don't know how to even describe it.
Without giving too much away.
I know. I don't want to give it away, but he did a really good job. You know, I think everyone really did. They kind of pulled it together because, I mean, you know, for Tristan and Dez, you know, Dez has done some things, but still, they're all fairly new and young, and this is kind of their first kind of bigger, you know, thing they're doing. So I think everyone did a really good job.
So besides you and Jess, everybody else was like a first timer pretty much then.
On the cast, yeah. Some of the crew. Uh-huh. Our DP is long. I've been a part of the process of filmmaking, which I think, you know, shows in the final, you know, cut of the film, the cinematography. But yeah, I mean, like, relatively most people are new, which is not a bad thing. You have to have people, you gotta, you know, go for it. Otherwise, what the hell are we all doing? It's impressive. Like you guys, you know, I've done a lot of films, and I've done a lot of films that y'all don't even know about. And no, I don't mean porn. I mean,
well, this might be the closest to that in one scene.
But I mean, films that have been, we shot it, we spent all this time, all this money was put into it, and they have never gotten completed, and will never get completed. And that happens so often, even with seasoned filmmakers. So it's really impressive what Tristan. Yeah. Who's laughing at me?
I don't know why. Why was it just a random laugh? A wolf.
Probably still laughing about the porn comments.
He might be. It looks like he's frozen on my end.
Yeah, he's frozen on my end as well. We'll mute him for a minute.
Please do. All right. So continue.
It's really impressive. You know, they not only, you know, had this idea and pulled it together with really no resources. I mean, they don't have contacts in the industry. They did the shit by themselves and got this film made, and it's their first thing. And I think that is admirable, very admirable. And then they completed it in a very short amount of time and got into festivals. And I've seen, like I said, plenty of professionals that drop the ball on that consistently. So
I said it earlier, and I, you know, I'll repeat it again for those who weren't, you know, listening earlier, but there's a lot of filmmakers that I've seen that are a good amount of films in, and the quality of this is way better than a lot of those. And these are people I'm fans of as well. So it's like, oh wow. Like for first time out for like a full length feature, it's pretty great. And I know, like, a lot of us have said before too, like, it's a huge, you know, we talk about movies and maybe things we don't like or whatever, but it's something where we never made a movie. So, you know, that you were able to successfully make a movie, and it's out and it's good. So that's awesome. That's huge.
Yeah. And, you know, for being his first movie also, and it was just amazing. Like I said before, you know, I can't wait to see, you know, your next rendition, what you're going to do next. Definitely, hopefully, without spoiling anything, hopefully we get a Red Eye 2. But for the people watching, a lot of people asking, you know, when can I see this? When can I see this? I know you talked about it earlier, but with it being on the film circuit, where can somebody see this movie next?
Actually, this weekend, we're going to be in Logansport, Indiana, which is about 2 hours outside of Chicago. We'll be playing at 8 o'clock Saturday, part of the Midwest Horror Fest. Then Friday, this Friday, we'll be at, well, the film will be at San Antonio Horrific Film Festival, screening at 10 o'clock, I believe. And that's down in San Antonio, Texas. And I think we have a couple more film festivals that we're waiting for rejection or approval. But it's like three. So I don't know what will happen after that. So hopefully DVDs and it'll come out on video on demand shortly.
So do you guys try to make it out to screenings if it's feasible for you to do so?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Well, we were supposed to, we were actually a part of Tamara Glenn from Halloween Five's Horrific, or not, Hot Springs Horror Film Festival. And we were actually trying to attend. That's like a 12-hour drive. We were trying to attend and that didn't work out. And Midwest is the one we're going to next. And it's like 5 hours. So we try to get to as many as we can. That's feasible.
Yeah.
And Jess was at Hot Springs, right?
Yeah.
I was.
Were you at the screening?
Yeah, I was. I was the representative.
Oh, that's awesome. How did it go over?
You know what? As far as I know, they had the biggest screening in the entire festival.
Whoa. Look at that.
Yeah, the crowd really seemed to love it.
That's awesome. What about the one?
I know, right?
Has the rest of the cast seen it in a screening, or is it just, have you guys seen
We've
it?
Not.
What's that?
Jessica and Heather both. I haven't seen it. Hayden and Scott both have.
They saw it at the world premiere.
So Jessica and Heather haven't seen the full movie?
I haven't. Jess, you didn't see it at Hot Springs?
I saw parts of it at Hot Springs, but because we were still trying to like figure out what was going on and where, I like was going in and out.
Oh, sure. And also you had a table and stuff, so you got to manage that as well. Sure. Yeah, no, I haven't seen it.
There was no table or anything.
Oh, okay.
No, but you know, like when I do festivals and stuff, I'm always like, where are the press? Are they coming? Who's here that I need to touch base with? Did I promote it on social media? What is the next step? You know what I mean? So right. I don't usually watch screens. I usually like, I make sure the audience is having good with it. So I've seen the opening and then I like check in. But I usually don't. Cause there's too much stuff that you need to be doing, honestly, as a filmmaker, usually.
Mm-hmm.
And the other guys, you guys saw it at the premiere. Have you guys gone to any film festivals where it's being shown or anything?
No, just the premiere for me.
What was that like for you guys? Like, how big was the premiere? Like, you guys had it at a regular movie theater, right?
Yeah, at the Gateway Film Center.
That must have been like huge for you guys. Like, that's I'm getting like excited thinking about it. It's like, you know, in a cool way, you know.
In a rewind that scene over and over way.
It was once, Heather. It was once.
Once.
It was once because I was like, "What did I see?" All right, that's what I saw. Anyways, I'm dead serious. I'm not being gross. But anyways, that must have been huge for you guys. Like the whole experience. That's great. I don't know.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was a dream come true, honestly.
So was it everything that you thought it was going to be? Like,
it was more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was everything and more. I was very impressed with editing, the way it looked, everyone's acting, person's directing. It was very impressed.
That's awesome.
And Hayden came from halfway across the country to see it too. So glad it turned out. Oh, nice. There you go.
So wow, where are you from?
I'm from Utah.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. But it was worth it.
That was just loud.
So this is something that you were told as a child. Did the movie that you made live up to the story?
How Red Eye came about, like, I used to live in South Carolina, and me and my family would drive up to Pennsylvania, and my stepdad, every time we went through West Virginia, he'd be like, oh, Red Eye will come out of the hills or whatever to get you, and he never really told me the story. That's, like, all he would said. It was kind of just, like, this person that lived in the hills. So So I never really got the story, and then it kind of like spawned from that. But for the film side, I think it turned out how I wanted it. I'm not disappointed with it whatsoever. I'm really proud of it. So.
Okay.
Would you agree, Tristan?
Yeah. I was going to see if she had mentioned Red Eye was actually her, what was it, senior year writing project or something?
Oh, I was like a freshman or sophomore in high school. I took creative writing.
But the fun thing about it was, is that idea actually came from, the idea of Red Eye actually came from her short story that she did in a freshman or sophomore or whatever. And she let me read it. And I was like, you ripped off like every backwoods slasher, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Wrong Turn. I was like, what are you doing? But then I was like, I think, I don't know what it was. I think I went to my notes or something, and I wrote like this big old paragraph, and I was like, what if we took this, everybody's name, I think her name, Riker's name in Destiny's short story was actually Reagan.
Yeah.
Gage stayed the same.
Gage was the only that stayed the same. Everything else changed.
Jake changed, and Brian changed.
Yeah.
And there was never a B or anything like that. Mm. But yeah, it kind of came out through a short story from a... Yeah.
Very cool.
So I must say this movie is very gory. How'd you come up with the... you know, idea of, because there's some scenes that it's just like pouring out. So
we as horror fans, obviously, we really wanted to come up with things that haven't been done, and I'm not going to say who it happens to, but there is one character where their death scene, I've never really seen it in a horror movie. I don't know if it's been done, and that was kind of like really special to me that we got to do that. And
yeah, well, when we were writing, I remember Destiny just being like, I just want to be drenched in blood. And I'm like, I think we can manage that. We write it. It involved a certain kill, and it came out so freaking good. Like, we had one time, you might know what I'm talking about, we had one shot to do it. And if we didn't get this shot, it was ruined. She played to the camera. It all just worked flawlessly, and it's one of my favorite, I can't say it, but it's one of my favorite shots.
You can tell us afterwards.
Yeah.
All right.
I think I know what shot they're talking about, but
I'm curious. So what do you guys have in the works? Like, what's next for you guys?
We're currently are polishing off the script for our next feature length film, Inverted. We are it's about, you want to say what it's about, or do you want me to?
I can do it. Okay. We want it to be set in the 70s. Budget pending. It can be full 70s, but if not, it'll kind of be like 70s-esque, kind of like how Rob Zombie did Lords of Salem, or like Heidi's in like bell bottoms and she has a record player, but there's like modern cars on the streets. So it's going to be done one way or the other. Basically, it's about these four adults that get kidnapped by this cult, and this cult puts them through all these different initiations to kind of strip them of their personalities and strip them of like who they are, so they can be fully for their cult. And the cult's kind of like an army, and they're preparing for the second coming of Christ. And whenever he comes, they want to like fight with Satan to make sure that God and Jesus like doesn't reign. So that's what they're doing.
And I just want to mention, like, the four characters are like, I'm sorry about Red Eye, guys, but they are like my dang. Like, I just freaking love them so much. We have Velvet, who is basically Destiny stripped to the bones if she was born in freaking 70s. But she's a lesbian, but she's not a lesbian, but she's a lesbian who is a very like activist. There's a scene where there's a big protest thing on the floor during one scene, and you know, she's a hippie. Innocence, and she has a girlfriend and such. Then we have a man in drag, Frankie with two E's, which is like one of my favorite characters I've ever written. And he's the comedic relief to the very heavy situation and story. Then we have Nancy, who is a drug addict prostitute from the 70s. No, everything's from the 70s. Then Ronald, which I don't like Ronald, but he's a rapist priest, but he tends to be used in the cult for many different ways, being a man. I really like it, like the script so far, and I think it's hard to do something if you don't like it, and I'm just so in love with these characters, with the exception of Ronald, and we are, I know you guys had some of the Party Night crew on here, but Tommy Vegas is actually portraying Nancy in Inverted, which is a little exclusive here. But she's a dear friend of ours who is really, really talented. And
I know we wanted to make a satanic film, and I'm really excited that we get to do it. So I'm super stoked.
Well, and we also had a friend of mine, friend of ours, who is also a writer and went to film school and all this other stuff, but it is a great friend of ours. We sent him the script, just like a rough draft of it, and he didn't have much to say because he didn't know what to say, but the little he did say was he compared it, the script. And it's hard to say Red Eye is a brutal film compared to this one, but he compared the film to a Serbian film and Saul turned up to 10. Like, it's just completely balls to the wall. There's a lot.
You should tell him. Like, he honestly said that we should remove, like, one scene because people may boycott it, and we're still thinking about that. Like, I don't want to. Like, this is, it's just, like, it's so up there, and it's so far beyond. Like, it's just, it's really brutal.
To a lot of people, they'll go in and be like, really? Did you have to put that scene in there? Does it have to? Yeah.
Because, the thing is, it's in there for a reason. We're not just, oh, this, oh, that. Where it all has a reason, and it all ties into specific characters. Like, same with Red Eye, too. Like, we're not going to have a sex scene just to have it. We're not going to have this just to have that. It all has a reason. It all pertains to the story and to the characters.
Yeah, because we've had a lot of people be like, why didn't you have a sex scene in the beginning of Red Eye? That would really pull in the viewers. And I'm like, well, it doesn't make sense.
It's not necessary.
Why didn't you have an opening kill? Well, it doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. So it's, we try to, if we're going to have something brutal in our film, we're going to be like, why do we want this? What will we achieve by doing this? Mm-hmm. But a lot of people may watch it and be like, you're just doing it because you can, which, yeah, but no.
Well, you can't because you're making a movie and it's your choice to do it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what about the rest of you? What do you guys have in the works?
I just have to add one thing. Suddenly, okay. I was imagining, Hayden, can you imagine if our first scene had had to be a sex scene on that fur rug? Oh, God. Anyways, that aside.
Yes, it was shaped like a penis. I think you have a picture.
It was shaped like a penis.
So awkward. I don't think I noticed that.
I don't think it's in the actual film. I hope not. It's a penis fur rug.
Really. That's a penis number, right?
There's Hayden with it. Yeah, again. That would have been the most awkward opening scene I've ever had to shoot in my life.
Where do you find a penis rug? That's where I'm wondering.
Someone castrated the abominable snowman.
Yeah. It was actually a part of my grandma's house, but we tucked it. It looked more like a shaft than it was more like flared out, so we tucked in like the sides.
I'm gonna say grandma's got some explaining to do.
Grandma's wild side.
Or maybe you don't want to have her explain that. You might just want to just be like, you know what, I'm gonna call that a wash.
Yeah. No, Grandma, I don't want to know this story.
Especially when it ruins the entire, you know, it's like she tells you a story, oh wow, I should have never known. It's because my imagination was so much better.
Anyone else have anything in the works?
We have Scream Queen Stream, of course, which is our weekly web series where we just be ourselves. I mean that, like, we're just being ourselves and doing our wacky life things, which is always a good time. You can find that on YouTube. Otherwise, Jess has a feature film in the works where I'm going to apparently play the worst character I've ever had to play in the bitchy sense ever. And I'll let her tell you about that. And otherwise, I am talking to a few people about a couple possible features in next year, but we'll see where that goes. Jess, wanna?
Yeah, I'm working on a movie called Besties, which has been in the works for a while, but I'm kind of really config on my scripts. So they usually go well into this double digits for drafts. But yeah, I'm really excited about it. Heather plays the bitchiest character I've seen her play yet, so it's going to be super fun. And then aside from that, we've got Distribution for Mania, which we have, but we can't announce yet. As soon as we can announce it, we will let you guys know, but I'm really pleased with it. I'm really happy. I'm not usually one who's really happy with distribution companies, as Tristan and Dez well know. I'm kind of a hard sell when it comes to these things. So I'm really excited for that. Lilith, An Ending, and Kill the PA are all in post. approaching the end. So we are looking at, it'll be 2018 before they start playing, but we are looking at spring for 2018 for Lilith and an ending, and ideally around that same time for Kill the PA. And then aside from that, Trinket obviously came out earlier this year, so you can buy it all over the place. Amazon, if you're Jessica Cameron's Trinket, because obviously there's a ton of them that are named that. You can pick that up now. And then Song of Solomon is making festival rounds as of right now. So is Red Eye, but I think you guys are finishing your festival rounds. Mania still has a few more festivals as well, so you can look for that. I'm going to be at the Spin City Horror Fest in Vegas, hopefully, end of the month, screening Mania, which will be one of the last ones. We also have one more in Japan and one other one that I forget where, and that'll be the end of it. And then I'm writing a witch movie and a Black Cat That Saves Halloween movie. So I'm really excited for those. And then there's a bunch of stuff that I'm acting in that's getting ready to come up, and all those things. A movie that Dorf and I both are in, called Solitary Confinement, is just finishing up post. So that should start festivals sooner rather than later. So yeah, it's a good year.
Road.
How many movies have you and Heather done together?
I have no idea. We do a couple a year, I think, usually.
A whole bunch. I'm really looking forward to seeing Mania finally. It took forever for me to see Truth or Dare, and I loved it. So I'm, you know, with time, I know. We're actually going to be at our first film festival that I've never been to one. We're going to our first one up in Buffalo next month. The Fantastic Buffalo Fantastic something whatever.
Buffalo film Dreams festival. Fantastic Film Festival.
Yeah. So we're gonna be guests there. We're gonna be broadcasting and everything, so it's gonna be fun. But it would have been cool to see it there. But oh well, I'll just have to wait. So
it's worth the wait.
I've been waiting for.
Go ahead.
I've been waiting for Mania for a while because I met Jessica in 2015 and she showed me some footage from that. You know, at Crypticon. And so I've been waiting for this one to finally come out.
Eventually. Give it time. It's like a fine wine. It's better with age.
Well, and if Crypticon wants it, I'm happy to let them show it.
There you go. So, Scott, do you have anything in the works?
Just I've been working on a film that I'm wanting to shoot probably summer of next year. I've actually finished the final draft today for that. And then I got the poster ready and going to be creating all the social media stuff. So that will probably be done either sometime this week or next week. I'll be traveling to LA actually Friday to be meeting with somebody about the film. And so that's what I've got going on.
Awesome.
Cool. Now, did you have that in the plans before Red Eye, or did Red Eye kind of push it forward?
I kind of had the basic idea of it during Red Eye. That's kind of how, like, Destiny and I kind of knew each other before, because I had contacted her about a role, and they ended up creating Red Eye, and it kind of just got switched. I had the idea for it for a while, and kind of just decide to go for it.
Cool. You keep us posted. Like, you know, if it'd be interesting to see the process. So yeah, keep us posted on what's going on with it. And definitely if you want to come back on at another time, just let us know.
Yeah. Awesome.
We'll do. Oh yeah.
Cool. And what, anything in the works for you, Hayden?
Film wise, no, but I was like, well, I should say yes. Film wise, not yet. But I am in the works with signing with the modeling contract. So, you know, maybe I can bring out the Lumberjack.
That's right. Lumberjack Miles. That's right.
But then I started a YouTube channel, and then eventually making my way to LA. So we'll see where that takes me.
So you said you started the YouTube channel? So you said?
Yeah.
So what is it? Is it like a just a blog channel, or is
it's
what
like
is it?
Yeah, it's like a blog.
Yeah.
So,
cool. There you go.
I can't hear him. Can you repeat the name of his YouTube channel? Because I'd love to support
it's
that.
It's Hayden Todd.
Hayden Todd. Yeah.
It's what?
Hayden Todd.
Oh, Hayden. Okay. Cool.
So I'll go subscribe to that so you can watch his day in the life stuff. Go do it.
Yep.
I'm sure.
I also do a YouTube channel as well. So it's just Inside My Indie Life for that plug.
That's right.
Everyone has YouTube channels except for me.
But you're on a YouTube channel.
Way of the future.
I'm just going to film me cussing at Jess. All the in-between takes of how much I'm angry between Scream Queen Stream, I'm going to upload that as, like, companions.
You should totally do it.
That's a great idea for a video, Heather. I might steal that. And by steal, I mean borrow and not credit you.
Yeah.
Matthew Solomon is...
Hi, Matthew!
Matthew Solomon's asking, is Inverted still on schedule for a December Indiegogo campaign?
It was always just winter of 2017, maybe.
I think we may have said December, but it's pretty much winter. What do you think, like February?
Early next year sometime. Yeah, I don't want to put a month on it because what we're trying to do, honestly, is get Red Eye out there. We don't want to be like, where is our stuff? And you're asking for more money.
Okay.
So we just want to make sure that they have the perks or there's a guaranteed date for the perks.
A big important thing to us is getting all the backers their fulfilled orders. That's one of the big things.
Which so far everyone has. It's just the DVDs, Blu-rays, and the signed scripts, which obviously we're waiting until the film comes out for people to get those. But it's just a bunch of waiting. And praying.
Well, with time. And hopefully you get like a cool physical release so we can add it to our collections. And then we'll see you at a convention or something and you can sign it. I'm just saying. I'm just throwing it out there. I don't know.
Well, it's going on almost 10:30. Is there anything else we'd like to cover before we wrap it?
Wolfie, Tony.
I'm good. I mean, got to talk to them during sit down, and I've asked the questions
You asked the questions you asked, correct?
Well, I pretty much said it right in the beginning of the when we first started talking. I was very impressed, especially for, like I said, I mean, you guys had some experience with the shorts, but I'm sure it's completely different. So being a first full-length film.
I'm going to say Tony doesn't have any questions.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
Well, it wasn't a question. It was just a statement. I must say I really enjoyed the movie. And, I'm looking forward to seeing what else you guys have planned.
Thank you.
I'd like to see them do a monster movie.
What was that, Jessica?
I said thank you so much for having us.
Well, yeah, we're super excited. I was glad, like, when we finally, were able to see it. You know, not finally, because it's still, being shown at other places. But I was psyched. And again, I'm not blowing smoke. I was super excited because of the story of how it came to be. And I was excited, but I was also kind of nervous to see it because I was worried I was going to be let down, and I wasn't let down. So that's good. So there you go.
Yeah, this was, as Kevin said a few times before, it's really one of the best independent films out there. I mean, we can't, say it enough that it's well shot, well produced. I like the sound. None of us have said anything about the score tonight. The score in itself is just an incredible score. The story. Yeah. Guy? So
Johnny Sumo or Sumu. I'm really bad at his
S-U-M-O. Last name.
Yeah. But he's very talented. Really great guy too.
Yeah, the music, like, it was really good, and it was like, I was kind of surprised because it almost was like different styles and stuff. So it sounded like it was different artists the whole time, but it wasn't. Like, there was a few different in there, but it wasn't like, it was good.
Yeah, we wanted to make sure it didn't sound all the same because we wanted to. There's a Red Eye theme. But he like took that and just like changed it up in so many different ways.
He kind of do it like softer, and then he like made it more heavy as like it went on. Like it was his theme, but it was like a softer version of his theme. Then it like went heavier and heavier as it went on.
I don't even know. Yeah. But, and he's just very all the way around talented with music.
Yeah. So yeah, it was,
yeah, this is definitely one to check out when when it comes out. Sorry, Kev, go ahead.
I was just gonna say it was impressive, and I was gonna say the same thing. Like, when you have an opportunity to check it out, you know, go do it. So yeah, I don't know if you want to do the rundown, Leo.
Yeah. Okay, and so Hayden, where can people find you?
They can find me on Instagram at Hayden Roberger, and like my YouTube channel is actually Hayden Todd, and Twitter. I'm not really on Twitter, so I'm not gonna mention Twitter, but Instagram and YouTube.
Okay.
Okay,
if you didn't hear him, it'll be in the notes below.
and I'm sorry, the other gentleman, I forgot his name.
Scott.
You can follow me on Instagram at Scott E. Fear and on Facebook at Scott Kink.
Okay. Jessica?
Where can we find
you? I am all over Facebook. I have a fan page. You can follow me at Jessica Cameron. You can also follow me on Twitter at Jessica Cameron _ and at Jessica Cameron on Instagram. I have a YouTube channel that I do for my fun's sake, which is just Cameron Inside My Indie Life. And then, of course, the one that I go to, that I do with Heather Dorf called Screen Food Stream. And I have a website that I'm not going to plug because I think it's filled with viruses, so don't check that out. Stay away.
Someone off. Yes. Anyways, I shouldn't plug my website either because your website tore down my website. But normally I have a website, heatherdorf.com, otherwise Facebook, just Heather Dorf. I have a page and a personal page, Twitter at Serenity Rising, and that's Instagram and pretty much everywhere else. And there you go.
Awesome. Okay. And Tristan and Destiny?
For our film, we have derangemindsentertainment.com. That's also on Instagram and on Facebook. We have redeye_film on Twitter. Is that right? And then on Facebook, we have facebook.com/redeyemovie and facebook.com/invertedfilm. For me on Instagram, I'm at livingdeadgirl_97, Destiny Orndoff on Facebook.
And I'm Tristan Clay on Instagram and Facebook, and I, Tristan Clay, on Twitter.
Awesome. Cool. And if you missed any of that, check the show notes down below or up above, depending on where you're watching us. You're going to find a bunch of information.
And this is Sullivan, but he doesn't have anything.
You going to growl for us?
There he goes.
But he has no social media.
Thank God.
Why not?
Because I'll kill him.
I'd follow him.
Yeah. Shit to do.
I do. I've tried to get him to tweet. That fucker doesn't do anything.
He just growls. New social media called Growl. That's that dog, all right. So Leo's just
Tony
just looking at a dog right now.
Well, you can find me on Tony Has Nine Fingers on YouTube, where I do movie reviews. You can find me on Tony Has Nine Fingers on Twitter and Horror Amino. I have an Instagram, Tony's Movies, where I show off the movies behind me. And I started that, Stardust app, where it's like 3 to 30 second reviews of movies. Find me on Tony Has Nine Fingers.
A weird pet montage.
Yeah.
Jess, shut up. You're interrupting people. You get to
Wolfie.
You can find me on YouTube, The 13th Wolfman, Twitter at The 13th Wolfman, Tumblr, 13th Wolfman, The Prowl. And now I'm over on VidMe also, which I'm mirroring all my stuff from YouTube after the debacle of last weekend. Over on VidMe, and it's also The 13th Wolfman. Every Sunday in the Dorkin, every Tuesday in Wicked Horror Show, doing Horror One with Kev. When we're done with that, we do the Wicked Horror Reviews. And I don't know anywhere else. Just look.
Just furry look. Wolfie, you got a bit furry there for a bit. I had the dog up while Wolfie was talking.
Yeah, you cut out. I didn't hear half of that. Yeah. When I was talking about Solomon, I
heard
talk. So I'm assuming it's my turn. Yeah. A Knuckle on Twitter, Instagram, A Knuckle 3 on Snapchat, doing the videos with Wolfie. Sundays on the Dorkening, with the Horror Show. That's all.
I hope you enjoyed this show. If you did, please make sure you subscribe to the show wherever you listen to your podcast. If you want to be part of a future show, you can find us over on YouTube or Facebook, where we broadcast all our episodes multiple times a week live in front of an online audience, where you can interact with us and our guests.
Our main show, The Dorkening, is produced live on Sundays at 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific. The Wicked Horror Show comes at you Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. And the Ultimate Video Game Show zooms in on Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. This has been a Dorkening Network production powered by New Media Promotions. You can learn more about our network by heading on over to www.thedorkening.com.